The health care bill advances in the dark.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The Senate health care bill won a key procedural vote in the wee hours this morning. The vote was perfectly split by party. Every Republican voted no, and the GOP vowed to fight the final House vote scheduled for Christmas Eve. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us live to talk about this. Hi, Mitchell.
Good morning, Bill.
So how much does this legislation change health care coverage for ordinary Americans?
Well, the first thing to point out is that for most Americans, not much changes. You'll still get your coverage from your employer. For individuals who aren't on an employer's plan, they'll have to buy insurance on their own or pay a fine. If they can't afford it, there'll be government subsidies. Under the Senate bill, there'll be health insurance exchanges. Basically, these are marketplaces for individuals and small businesses to shop, hopefully for cheaper insurance.
And what about employers, Mitchell? How do things change for them?
Well, for employers, all but the smallest ones, they'll see fines if they don't offer coverage to their employees, up to $750 per worker. That's only if the worker has to go to the government for a subsidy. This idea is controversial in part because that penalty isn't very high compared to the cost of paying for health insurance. Anyway, that's how employers might make their calculation, says Regina Hertzlinger at the Harvard Business School.
I might be tempted to drop the health insurance and let my employees go shopping on the exchange.
So Hertzlinger warns of a huge potential hit to the Treasury if a lot of employers drop coverage and instead let their employees buy insurance on the open market with a subsidy.
That's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joining us live. Thanks, Mitchell.
You're welcome.
And if that measure passes the Senate, it would be reconciled with the House version. The president has said he wants to sign a bill before his State of the Union address in January. In other news this morning, the French drug maker Sanofi Aventis says it's buying the Tennessee health products maker Chatham, producer of Gold Bond skin care creams and Icy Hot pain reliever. Let's do the numbers. European markets are up almost 1% this morning. Japan's Nikkei rose 0.4% today. The country's exports posted their smallest decline in 14 months. However, most other Asian markets were lower today. On Friday, the NASDAQ jumped almost 1.5%, and the Dow gained 20 points Friday to close at 10,328. For the week, the S&P 500 was lower last week by 0.3%. Saab might not be dead after all. A Dutch automaker has submitted a new offer to buy the brand from General Motors. Spiker Cars says its offer expires today, but GM says it has other inquiries and it's going to consider each one. European markets have been reacting to the outcome of last week's climate change summit in Copenhagen. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports the so-called carbon market is taking a hit.
The market trades in carbon allowances, and it's supposed to be a key weapon in the fight against climate change. European governments have capped the level of carbon that many companies can emit. If some companies want to emit more, they have to buy allowances from other firms that don't need them. When governments get really tough on carbon, those allowances will get a lot more expensive. This morning, they got a lot cheaper. They fell in early trading by 8%, having fallen by 6% at the end of last week. Trevor Sikorsky is a carbon analyst with Barclays Capital. He says the markets decided the Copenhagen summit was a failure.
The accord is very weak. It doesn't have any detail. It's only 2 pages long. You know, it's almost nothing.
He says any hopes that the price of carbon allowances would rise sharply in the short term, making it more expensive to pollute, those hopes have been dashed after Copenhagen. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And America's third largest radio broadcasting company has filed for Chapter 11. Citadel Broadcasting is trying to restructure its debt as ad revenue continues to fall.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America, working to meet the capital needs of qualified businesses and consumers. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/ahead. And by Novo Nordisk, committed to changing diabetes through treatments, partnerships, and education. Defeating diabetes is our passion and our business. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
PBS will reportedly announce today it is subscribing to full-time TV ratings from the Nielsen Company. The New York Times reports the public broadcaster is trying to show it's responsive and accountable to the companies that sponsor Sesame Street, Frontline, and other shows. Speaking of TV ratings, Diane Sawyer takes over anchoring ABC's World News today, replacing Charlie Gibson. It's definitely the big time for Sawyer, but is network news still the giant it used to be? Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith takes a look.
Walter Cronkite, Peter Jennings, Tom Brokaw, all household names. But will the next generation of news anchors enjoy the same kind of fame?
Network news has been losing an average of 1 million viewers a year for the last 25 years.
Tom Rosensteel is with the Pew Research Center's Project for Excellence in Journalism.
News consumption is now something that people do when it's convenient for them. And this has made the appointment viewing of the network evening news something that, you know, has been squeezed.
Still, don't count network news out just yet, says Marty Kaplan with the USC Annenberg School of Journalism. He says the audience is still substantial.
It's way smaller than it used to be. Nevertheless, the network evening news still has the largest public square in America.
About 23 million people tune into network news shows every night, and that's getting advertisers. Last year, ABC, NBC, and CBS sold an average of $157 million in ad revenue. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, when Washington State growers ship Christmas trees to Alaska, sometimes tiny frogs hop on for the ride. They're called Pacific chorus frogs, and they can carry fungus and viruses that aren't native to Alaska. Unlike some states, Alaska doesn't require imported trees be mechanically shaken, so Alaskans are debating. Should we start shaking, or would those little frogs just hang on tight? This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.